What's going on, everyone? It's me, Lone. Welcome to episode 7 of Lone Vault Radio, the video games podcast where I invite my friends, other content creators, and industry colleagues to talk all things games. Today, we have another very special guest, another content creator, a fellow YouTuber, going by the name of G-Man Lives, and also my good friend. G-Man, what's going on, bro?
How are you, man? Thanks for having me on. Always appreciate chatting about video games with cool people. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, this is obviously not the first time on YouTube and on a YouTube video where we're talking about games, but you and I, we're always at the same events, seeing each other and just chatting about games and what we're playing. So, man, I'm really keen to chat with you. I'm really keen to know, especially what you thought about Doom the Dark Ages. Doom the Dark Ages, both G-Man and I played it. We were invited by Bethesda at their offices to play Doom the Dark Ages. Really keen to talk all things Doom. But as we start all these podcasts, I kind of want to chat about you, how you're going with your channel. And also, can you let everyone know, how would you describe your channel and the kind of content that you do? Because the first thing that pops into my mind is obviously FPS games, boomer shooters. But how would you actually describe your channel and what you produce?
Jeez. I think like 3-4 years ago, I probably would have said FPS. But I think I've just kind of... I've run out of simply FPS stuff to talk about. So I've definitely tried to branch out into different kind of genres. I kind of hate that term variety streamer because I'm not really a streamer, but I think like maybe like variety content creator fits that pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
I think the long and short of it, man, is if I'm playing something and I think it's cool and or there's like a message to get there from creating content on it, I think that's kind of like my mantra of what I'm going to focus on. Yeah, so good, bad, ugly, but if there's something entertaining that can come out of it, I think that's pretty much all it takes, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. What was the point, by the way, that because obviously you covered a lot of FPS games, classic FPS games in the past, but you said that you kind of run out of that content, which, by the way, that's crazy that you've covered that many of those games that you're like, I need to start covering other games. When was that moment? Was it recently? Was it a few years ago?
I'd probably say after Doom Eternal, weirdly, because Doom Eternal was so hype and there was just such this build up. And obviously, like, I was playing all these FPS games leading up to that. And then Doom Eternal just pushed that like envelope so hard, I think, you know, in terms of gameplay and storytelling and visuals and just how satisfying that genre could be. So I felt anything that I was playing after that, that was specifically trying to be like that really fun action-y FPS stuff, kind of felt me like a little bit lacking, you know what I mean? Like it kind of soured me a little bit in a way. I don't think the genre is bad. Like there's plenty of other great like immersive sim kind of clones and stuff like System Shock sort of homages, but... Yeah, so I think specifically that whole like boomer shooter thing, I'm definitely kind of running a little bit out of steam there, man. But I've been doing it for like 8 years, so I think it's just naturally maybe run its course, you know?
Yeah, well, and you haven't been doing YouTube full-time for 8 years. Like I know that you've dabbled here and there with YouTube and you had some other side gigs, I guess. Now you are very much full-time doing YouTube, right?
I would say probably 80-20 full-time.
That's crazy,
and I think we might have... Yeah, I think we've had this chat, you and I, at like a few events before, but yeah, the main reason for me was just, it's like a headspace thing, man. I feel video games are great, but there's definitely fun to be had in making it a profession. But I think if that's like just all you do, there has to be a point where the fun element is just stripped away. So I think just mentally, just to have a disconnect so I can step away from the games and the computers, do something else, which is still media related, just to like, reset the brain. So when you come back to it, you're like, cool, I still love doing this and I still enjoy playing the game and talking about it, you know? Otherwise, you're just grinding.
Exact
man.
Same.
Yeah.
The exact same for me. I kind of went in the complete opposite direction in terms of like, now I have a full-time job again after trying YouTube full-time because when I was sitting down playing games constantly and producing videos constantly, I guess I'm just, my brain is wired a little bit differently. I got very, very burnt out. So now that I'm treating YouTube like, you know, just on the side, doing the podcast, I'm finding a lot more enjoyment with it. Do you see yourself continuing doing the 80% YouTube like infinitely? Is this something that you think when you're 50 or 60 or whatever it might be that you're still doing? What do you reckon?
Jeez, I hope... I don't know, man. It all just depends on where gaming goes, you know? And it's almost like I said after 2023, I remember at the end of 2023, I was kind of feeling like, oh, man, this is just starting to feel like I'm getting to the end of my tether here, you know? Because I'm almost making a video like every week, pretty much every week. So 50-something videos almost a year. So, but then 2024 was like ridiculous for games. That was one of the best years we've ever had. Yeah. No, sorry, I'm getting it backwards. No, 2023 was the great year, sorry, and then 2024. Mm-hmm. But then coming down to 2025, it's like there's so much cool shit on the horizon. Like we've got Doom and then the Metal Gear Solid remake's coming out, and there's a few indie titles that I'm looking at that are like really sweet. So I feel like it's just like that ebb and flow of what the industry's doing. Like it kind of motivates me based off what's out there. So it's hard to say, like when the PlayStation 7's out by the time I'm 50 or whatever, maybe I might be over it, but I mean, we might all be like Ready Player One-ing by that point. Do you know what I mean? We've all got VR headsets on and shit like that. So who knows, dude? Yeah.
The metaverse is going to take off.
At some point, right? Yeah. You spend enough money on it, so you hope so, yeah.
It was funny, by the way, and obviously we'll segue into Doom the Dark Ages, but you mentioned that Doom Eternal kind of like, I guess, ruined some other games for you. Tell me a bit more about that. Like, was it that good? And then everything else in comparison was like, God, it's good, but it's not Doom Eternal. What do you mean by it?
I think it's the sense of it was one of the very few games, and I still don't think many games have achieved it, where it just gave you such total control over like every aspect of the game. Like in the sense of like, you know, we won't go into it, but like the resource management with your item, your ammo and your health and your armor and stuff. To the point where it really was like, if you died in that game, you couldn't really blame the game. Like there was a few issues, like I wasn't perfect, but a lot of the stuff in that was like, you just didn't play the game. You didn't use all the tools you had. You know what I mean? But even like the movement, you had the dashing and you could like jump up ledges, and there was just so much freedom for an FPS game to just let you do all this stuff. So then when you go back to old games that are trying to replicate that older style where it's just running around strafing and shooting, which isn't bad by the way, but it's like, you feel like you're kind of going back to the Dark Ages. You know what I mean? It feels like I need these features in these games too. So it was kind of hard to switch gears for me for a bit there. But there were a lot of indie titles that filled that gap, which was cool. But a lot of games, I think, in that space are still just trying to be like classic shooters, you know? Yeah. So, it's a switching gears thing, man. It's just kind of hard to go back to it sometimes.
Would you say that at this stage, Doom Eternal is your favorite Doom? I know it might be a big thing, but is it now, or is it still some of the classics?
I don't know. I mean, weirdly, I really love Doom 2. Like, not the first Doom. First Doom is great, but the more I play that, I mean, I've been playing Doom 1 for like, 30 years or something now since it came out. I think I'm just kind of doomed out from that. But Doom 2, I appreciate the fact that they added in like one new gun with their super shotgun, as well as like all these different enemies, but it's like, it's four or five different enemies, one new gun, and it just so drastically affects how the game plays.
Yeah.
And I think people forget how fundamental that super shotgun is, man. Like so many games have 100%. The boomstick. Yeah. Like Doom 1 gets a lot of praise, but Doom 2 is like, that game kind of like low-key invented the boomstick, right? Everyone does now. So it's like, I don't think it gets a lot of credit in that way. So I kind of hover between Doom Eternal and weirdly Doom 2. Yeah.
All right.
In terms of replay stuff, that's a tough question. I'd really have to think about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't mean to pull out such a hard question.
Yeah.
Just naturally flowing conversation. But we're on Doom, so we might as well jump into it. As we said, Bethesda invited us to play Doom the Dark Ages recently. This video will be going right up at embargo, so it's kind of like a couple of weeks away from now. I'm very keen to talk to you about all things Doom the Dark Ages. I'm not going to like ask a particular question right now or lead the conversation in a certain way. I just want to start straight up by asking you, what did you think of Doom the Dark Ages?
Overall impressions is that it is ridiculously awesome. Yeah. The coming away result of that was like, I just want to play more of that. Having said that, I do have a few like issues with it, like minor things.
Okay, let's get into it, man.
Well, it's I was chatting to a few people about it there on the day. It's hard to really get critical, I feel, now of the series as well, because there's so many things where you might have an issue with something, but you play the game for another hour or two more hours, and then that aspect clicks. Do you know what I mean? Like, there were certain enemies in there. You know, there's that giant cyber demon thing with the gargoyle wings or whatever that was like a massive pain in the ass.
And at first, pain in the ass, man.
I was like, dude, I just couldn't get what to do to this thing, and I knew there was something I had to do. And then eventually got to the point where I figured out I could throw the shield at it to stun it. And then I had the shotgun with the burst fire. And that was enough to just loop that so I could get armor back. I could stun it. And then I could just, melee punch and finish it off. But the first hour I was coming up against that thing, dude, I was like, this thing's just, grinding my gears. But it's hard to really get super critical at that point without having played it for 20 hours, and finished it on... Yeah. Ultraviolence, Nightmare, whatever, and really given a chance, you know. Because you remember when Doom Eternal launched, everyone hated the Marauder at first, saying this thing's broken. Yeah. And now you look at how people fight that dude now, it's like a joke. You may as well not have been in the game. So, yeah. That's why I'm like, I kind of slept on it with my minor issues, and I woke up the next day saying, nah, like the game fucking rocks. Like it's hard to not walk away from that thinking like, yeah, they're really cooking with this thing, you know?
I think there's a few things going on. It's like, and any game will have this where you sit down for a preview session, you only got a few hours, if that, with it. They have a very tough time to try and onboard you in that process, right? Like, so essentially what we played, we had like four different levels, and those opening levels really showed you the tutorials, how you actually play the game, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got to figure all that out, and then you're thrown into that last level, which was a bit more open-ended. And even that, you're like, crap, I'm still not ready for this. Like, I was doing pretty well in the first three levels, especially the first level, which was not the dragon and the titan, which we'll get to. So doing all right in the first level, tutorials all good, I kind of learning the basics, and then you're thrown into the fourth one and you're like, holy crap, like I really need to get good, whereas that would happen over the course of many more hours when you're playing the game normally. I think there's a bit of that. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I realized too, because I definitely spent the most time in that last area, that there's stuff in there that was optional. Like I got stuck on one battle against this giant spider thing, which is almost like a spider mastermind or something, like redesigned. That giant thing with the big mechanical legs. Yeah. And I died like three or four times to it. I should mention I was playing on Nightmare because I have a stupid ego and I had to play it on the hardest difficulty.
Of course.
Which wasn't helping, my thing. But I found that I was either playing really well or I'd just get stuck on one thing for like 10, 15 minutes. And that was one thing I got stuck on, but I'm like, no, I'm going to beat this stupid thing. Killed it finally, figured out what I had to do. And then like nothing happened. And I was like, did I need to kill that thing? You know, it's like, it's almost like a trap in a sense, but yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. Like in that open area, there are some enemies that you weren't killing to progress. Like sometimes they were like the little freaking wormy things that came out of the ground and was slamming you. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try and kill it. And you kill it. And then you ask yourself, wait, why did I do that? Like, could I have just walked by and avoided that thing? Did you find that as well?
Absolutely. It almost got to that point where I could sense that this was just, like, not that I didn't need to do it, but there were fights where I was like, this is just kind of creating extra battle content, which is fine, but it's interesting that they've created a game in that sense where it's like, you're really just playing this shit for the love of the game at this point.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to tackle this giant, you know, spider creature that's in there, which requires its own strategy, then, like, go for it, you know. So, the freedom was pretty damn cool to be like, this is like a genuine open map where I can just go around and get up to complete mischief with all these demons, man. Yeah, it was cool.
There were definitely some areas where, there were enemies that you're just killing for killing's sake, right? But then there are the secret areas, and then there's the stuff, like they want to encourage you to explore and find certain things, and I'm sure it's going to be fleshed out more in the full game. Then you'll encounter dungeons and rooms and areas where, all right, well, I got to actually kill these people and do a puzzle to actually progress. How do you feel about, it's obviously not open world, but I don't know how we would open zone or whatever it might be. Do you like that? Do you like these more open-ended areas where you're encouraged to explore a little bit more and kill a bunch of enemies? How does that figure in, especially with your experiences playing Doom Eternal?
I liked the combination of it because obviously they had those earlier chapters which were very linear, and then they had the whole bit with the dragon and that kind of stuff where it's like,
for sure.
Even the dragon bit felt a little bit open because it gave you those like four things that you could kind of tackle. But then to have both sort of forms of it, man, I think it's fun because it's like it's going to let you choose the pace you want. Like if you want to barrel through that and just, you know, get the objective and close the portals or whatever it was and then go into the next bit, fine. But if you want to take the time to see what's off the beaten path, you know, I don't see anything wrong with like extra content in a game that's already fun to play. It's just more of what you enjoy doing. So I think it's a cool combination. Yeah.
For sure. Well, so like, there's so many things to talk about. So I think one of the big bits to focus on now is the combat, right? How do you feel that Hugo Martin and Marty Stratton really went into how Doom Eternal is the one where you're jumping and shooting? It was a lot of verticality, the grappling hook, everything, like you're jumping around. This game is definitely more weighted. It's more grounded. You're doing a lot of strafing, moving left to right to avoid energy blasts and attacks and whatever it might be. How do you feel about how the game just feels to play?
I dig it quite a lot. I think I was comparing it to the first game was like you were like, I don't know, like a crazy athlete running around like a sports car, and then this feels like you're a Panzer tank or something.
Yes.
It almost reminded me of playing like a 40K game, like I'm in a Space Marine suit, because you have that like super heavy thudding when you sprint, and you really feel like when you're sprinting, you're like a dude covered in tank armor. And then to sort of drop off something and there's that loud thud, you know? And just the animations felt slower, but not in like a bad way, just in the sense of like there was more impact to what I was doing. Which was good when the whole system seems to be designed around melee combat and shields and flails and stuff. So I think it's I think it's very different, man, to Doom Eternal. And I think a lot of those hardcore dudes will probably be maybe disappointed by it or not take to it at first. But that was the same thing with 2016, right? People were like, oh, I hate this. 2016 was so much better. But then you can have two of the same thing or two things that are both equally great, just in different ways of doing it. So, it's doing its own thing, and they've never hidden that from us that that's what they're doing. So I don't see an issue with it. I think it's exactly what they said they were going to do. Yeah.
I very much like how they are mixing it up. Like, sure, they could have just given us more Doom Eternal, but we got that in the Ancient Gods Part 1 and 2, right? Like, this is a new game. Different era, medieval-style Doom. I very much like that they've changed it up. I will say, though, and this is not a negative, it was just a learning curve. Part of me instinctually playing so much Doom Eternal, when I'm in there, I'm like, I want to jump. I want to freaking swing around and be a lot more like vertical and whatever it might be. I have a lot more movement. And I couldn't do that? That was a learning curve. Like, I'm a tank. I'm this kind of heavy Doom Slayer, and I've got to be a little bit more different in how I move around. Did you find that learning curve as well? Did you have to get over that hump too?
Yeah, it touches on what we said earlier about how you almost need to put more time into the game, really. But the thing that I struggled with for the first like hour was just that I couldn't dash anymore. Like, it was like I'd see these projectiles, and the projectiles seem to like home towards you in this. Do you notice that? Like, the projectiles track you. Mm-hmm. So I was like trying to get away from this giant projectile that I couldn't, I guess I could block up the shield, but, and I'm like, here I would just press shift and I'll dash out of the way. But I was like, damn, I have to like just do something else here. And it took my brain a little while to come up with the thing with the shield where it was like, that was what has to be the flow now. It's a very mild learning curve, because I think you're probably the same. Like, we've played Doom Eternal for quite a lot of time. So it really is switching up gears, man. It's like a different take on, but again, like, it's still the same thing they've done where like you still control your resources, you control your ammo and your health and stuff, but the movement is very much like, you're a dude who weighs three times what he weighed last time, and you've just kind of got to accept the fact you're not going to be zipping all over the place anymore. So
I feel like once we, again, play the game properly from start to finish, and we're onboarded a little bit easier because we have the full game, that's when it's really going to click. Because there's a bit at the end where I felt like I did get into the flow state where I'm like, all right, it's clicked now. I definitely get it. And the shield is crucial as part of that. What do you think of the shield?
Yeah, it's cool, man. I think I think it's slightly overpowered, to be honest, against...
Really?
I found, like, I don't know if that's just the way they want you to play it, but when you had, like, a group of the fodder enemies and the smaller demons, I'm sure that's the intent, but it was so easy to just charge into them and just vaporize all of them.
The best.
It's too easy. It's too satisfying to do. And then even against the bigger demons, you charge them and they stun, and then it leaves them open to so much stuff. But again, like, that's probably the whole point of why it exists. They want you to get to the fun zone again. But that shield is definitely overpowered, man. I'm sure there's going to be something where, I don't know, they'll find a way to throw a curve in there where someone's maybe resistant to the shield. Because I noticed if you tried to charge up against, I think it was the Mancubus. There was like a variant of the Mancubus where if I charged him, he would just smack the shit out of me. And he did insane damage. It was like he was basically killing me in one hit from a thing. So I feel like they have the crux to stop you from using that. But that thing is super overpowered, man. Super satisfying.
It's so satisfying. It probably is a little bit overpowered. But it's funny that we mentioned dash. That became my dash. Like, that became the way that I could move really quickly and also deal damage at the same time. But also as well, the way that you can... you can throw the shield to cut fodder enemies in half, and that's fine. But the ones where you can throw the shield and it sticks an enemy in place that allows you to shoot everyone else to kind of pause that, I thought that was pretty sick. You know, the shield's awesome, man. I think it's a cool concept.
Yeah, I'm already seeing like the Captain America memes to come out of that, you know, like because you sort of throw the shield off somewhere and then you're running around, it just kind of comes back to you. It's like, yeah, this thing does not obey the laws of physics at all, you know.
I mean, wait, it's Doom, so like he's super powered dude. Can I ask you, like, what about the weapons? Like, we actually got access to a few different weapons. I think we started with just the combat shotgun and the shield saw, and then progressively we got more. What do you think of the weapons, especially some of the returning ones like the super shotgun, but also some of the new ones that they've added, like the skull crusher?
Yeah, I didn't vibe with the basic shotgun at the start, but then there was that point later in the demo where they gave it a burst fire mode and it had this upgrade where it was lighting enemies on fire again. And I found that thing was like ridiculously useful because you could just not spam, but you could use it on the tougher, you know, enemies that we come up on, the tougher demons, and it was just constantly giving back armor. Super shotgun honestly didn't vibe with it a big deal in this one as well, because
the
reload rate, the reload rate was really slow, man. It was almost like a handicap to me to do that. It sounded cool, but, and I think the ammo capacity was like 10 shells or something, which I just know is going to piss a whole bunch of people off. Like, it did a lot of damage, but it just wasn't. Yeah, am I wrong though? Right, like, it's going to piss a lot of people off. Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
But it just wasn't as effective as that other shotgun. A burst fire mode that lights enemies on fire. But again, maybe down the track there's an upgrade, faster reload, blah blah blah. They'll add something in that makes it more viable. So
maybe,
I don't know. Yeah. What else do we have? We had the assault rifle. Pretty standard kind of thing.
That was pretty standard. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the big? So we obviously had the plasma rifle, and then we had
that was dope. That was cool.
That was dope. Like, that was really bloody satisfying. Yeah. Was that your favorite?
That was probably my favorite one. There was an upgrade that it had where it electrified the bigger demons, and if the other smaller ones were near them, it would chain lightning off to the smaller ones and zap them in place.
Hell yeah!
So I was like, yeah, that's going to be my go-to, I think, in the full game. And I think that was it, right? It was just those two. Oh, and the state gun was pretty badass too. Yeah.
Okay, so that was the one that I think was my favorite. And obviously, there's a whole mechanic in there where you're picking up gold and other gems and whatever as well, and you can upgrade your weapons and whatnot, right? And obviously, we couldn't upgrade everything, but we could trial some out. I think it was the state gun where if you threw your shield and it impaled an enemy and it was spinning, and then you shoot the shield, all the projectiles would bounce off and hit other enemies. That was the coolest thing. Damn. Did you try that?
I didn't get to try that one, no. That's pretty badass.
what upgrade did you try, out of curiosity?
I don't think I upgraded that. I upgraded the dual plasma rifle thing, because it had that upgrade that I said where it was stunning, and because I was kind of spamming it against the bigger demons, and it was just another way to keep him in place, man, so I could not get overwhelmed, because on nightmare difficulty, it was that whole thing where you go from full health and armor and you hear that whip whip noise. You're like, what? What just happened? Like, and you're on
it
two health
points. It kept happening.
It's just like, what the fuck hit me? Yeah. I kept having that moment. So any chance I had to stop people moving, I was like, yeah, I'm taking that right away. I think I upgraded the
100%.
I think I upgraded the shotgun as well. I added something to it, I think. Maybe that was the burst fire upgrade I might have added, yeah. And it made it so that they just keep dropping armor shards, which I found was, again, incredibly useful. So,
How do you feel about the upgrade system, by the way?
It seems like it's very much forcing you to pick a weapon. I don't know. Maybe, again, like, it's hard to tell how many resources you're going to get, but based off what I found in the demo, and I spent a lot of time exploring to find gold, it was like I could buy one upgrade, maybe two, and then I had no gold left. So it's like it really felt like they were trying to make sure you were going to stick with a weapon almost.
Yeah.
Because I noticed too that the weapon swapping speed is really slow now, which again might be an upgrade down the track, but it's not like you can hit someone with the assault rifle or whatever, then quickly go to the shotgun and then back to the assault rifle. It's very much like you're using this gun and that's it. You want to swap out to another gun? Here's a 2-second animation and here's your next gun kind of thing. So, it definitely feels like it's a limited resource system, you know?
Do you think it's another learning curve thing? Because I remember how fast swapping was in Doom Eternal. Is this all in line with how, you know, the Slayer is a little bit slower as a tank? Is that what they're going for? Or do you reckon you can actually, and we don't know yet because we only played a small part of the game, but do you reckon they're going to allow you to upgrade it? Or is that just how the game is meant to feel?
Part of me hopes they don't change it. I hope that's just what it is that it's meant to be more slower and methodical, because if they're just going to repeat the same thing they did with the last game, then no one's really going to I mean, what's the fun in playing the same game you've already played if it's going to be the same thing?
I agree.
Oh, you can use a railgun and you can go back to this or whatever. So, no, I hope they leave that slower sort of methodical thing in there because we don't need every single game to be fast weapon swapping, you know? So
no, dude, Doom Eternal got so sweaty. Don't get me wrong. I freaking loved it. It was kind of crazy. There's so much to bloody talk about here. I'm thinking of the gauntlet now, right? How did you feel about the gauntlet and the whole, you have to, how many charges did we have? It was like three charges that you build up.
Yeah, three charges,
What do you think about striking with the gauntlet?
Yeah, it was good. I think I was thinking to myself that it was a direct response to people who bitched about the melee in Doom Eternal. Do you remember a lot of people were like, the melee does nothing in that game. You could like punch the and it did nothing because it was all just to set up the blood punch. But I honestly feel like they've done this as a big like thumbs up, middle finger, sorry, to the people who were criticizing them over that. But yeah, the combo is cool, man. I like when you lock into that combo and you get like a three-piece hit off on someone and smash the crap out of them. I thought it was pretty cool. And then you get the flail later in the game, in the demo, where it's like slower.
Yes.
But it's like, but they're stun locked anyway, and I'm doing a shit ton more damage, so I don't see a downside to this, you know?
How did you feel about the flail? Because like, I really liked the gauntlet. I felt like, doing the combos was a bit quicker, and then the flail was so much noticeably slower, and I just couldn't get into the flow state with it. What do you reckon?
No, at least you got the option to choose, I suppose. But no, I kind of like the fact that I was whacking the crap out of these dudes with a giant, spiked ball. I thought it was pretty fun. Yeah. It was, it was just, it wasn't something I relied on, but if it was like I had one of those bigger dudes left, I knew I could control this guy a little bit more. Again, like keep someone out of my face and just keep them in place while I can just do whatever I need to do to them. So, no, I thought it was, pretty satisfying, fun little thing. And again, it keeps in with the whole medieval theme, right? With the,
True. There's one more melee that we get. I can't remember what it is, though. So we had the gauntlet and the flail, but there's another one. So I'm pretty keen to try that one out when we get the chance with the full game. I think there is. I swear there was a third.
There's a weapon that I found in like a secret area. I hope I can talk about it, where it shoots it's a gun that had this like giant, almost like a giant cannonball attached to it with a chain. And you launched it out and it shot out and smacked into enemies and then flew back in.
What? And it used an ammo, secret area?
Yeah, it used an ammo source, which was weird because it was very clear the ball just going out and coming back. But I noticed when I used it against the tougher demons, it would pretty much shatter their armor in one hit. So I'm wondering if that's like a fallback to just, because, knocking the armor off the enemies was a pretty big deal there. So technically that's melee. Yeah. I hope I'm allowed to talk about it because I found it.
Well, if it was in
spot.
The demo, in the demo and you found it. I mean, you were
cat's
exploring.
Out of the bag now.
Cat's out of the bag now. But also as well, like I think it does go to show that you are encouraged to explore. And I don't know whether that would have been, because sometimes when developers put together a demo, they're putting in certain things to make the demo fun, but that might not necessarily be in the full game. I hope it is. Yep. Finding secret weapons and awesome upgrades by just exploring is sick. I realized we forgot to talk about it. With the shield and the parrying system, what did you feel about like when there's a green projectile or an energy blast or whatever it might be, you could parry that back and hit the enemy again? Did you like that?
Yeah, it threw me off a bit at first because of my because I'm colorblind, I'm red-green colorblind, so the first thing I was just like, I couldn't see the difference, so I had to go in the, luckily they had those accessibility settings, and I made the parryable projectiles like a really bright shade of yellow so I could actually see the difference.
Because it's green and red, the two different ones, so you wouldn't be able to see it.
It was very hard for me to tell, me, and I couldn't figure it out at first. I was like, why am I taking damage from this? And after like 30 seconds, I was like, oh my God, it's because it's, But no, once I updated it, I like that it's not for every single projectile, it's only for a certain amount, so you can't just cheese through every single fight. You've still got to be mobile and sort of pick your battles. But yeah, when you see that one, you can parry. It's like, well, here's your chance to sort of, turn the tide a little bit. So, and it's really satisfying ASMR. There's that really satisfying, like, it's like a really chunky, I don't know, like a metallic hit when you did it. So like orally, now's the time to kind of, push back and get a bit more aggressive. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's a cool feature. I thought it was pretty sweet.
The one thing that I want to chat with you about is, I don't know what they're called, like the glory kills or whatever name that they have now. It took me so long to realize that you can jump from, and they talked about this, and I don't know why I didn't remember in the moment, where you execute different types of glory kills and finishes depending upon how you approach the enemy. So whether you approach it from behind direction. Or left and right. Yeah. So I kept just going straight up because I'm thinking this is Doom Eternal. Straight up and I'm doing the glory kill and I move on. And the animations kept being the same. And then just one occasion I happened to jump down and it was completely different and I stomped the dude's head in. I'm like, oh my God, I completely forgot that this was a thing. What did you think about that system?
I feel like the glory kills are a little bit downplayed in this, it seems.
I agree. Yeah.
They're still a factor, but yeah, I definitely found myself doing them far less, man, than Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal is like the glory kills, you almost had to do them out of necessity because you were sort of low on health and you really need to get back up. And sometimes it was just good to give yourself like 3 seconds of breathing time while you watched an animation. But yeah, I found in this, I didn't think I really did them that much.
Yeah.
There were those contextual animation things where if you knock someone down to low health, you could do like an animation where it was like knocking their armor off or breaking their weapon or something. I remember those being more memorable. I don't think they were glory kills. I think they were like just like stuns or something. I don't even know what to call them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it seems like they've kind of moved away a little bit from it. Because I know that was one of the main complaints. Mm. From Doom Eternal was like, oh, I don't want to sit there staring at glory kills for 1.2 seconds. It's like, okay, well, you know, anyway, another weird complaint from criticism that people got. But yeah, it seems like cool, it might though. Be.
They were bloody and gory, you know?
I don't know. I've never met anyone personally who hated glory kills in Doom Eternal. I think it was always one of the weirdest criticisms, but
I agree.
Yeah, people saying, I don't want to sit there watching someone get stabbed through the eye with their own arm. I was like, why are you playing Doom Eternal, bro? Like, what do you want to say if not that, you know?
Dude, the Kako Demon glory kill is still one that I enjoy thoroughly to this day. I don't care how much I see it. Your freaking shit, the saw up into the face and the eyeball pokes out is the coolest thing ever. And I was hoping to see stuff a bit more gory as that. You know what I mean?
I
get why they've made the change, though. I want to ask you, though, like we've talked about the different weapons and the shield and the parrying and different upgrades that you can get. Just overall, what do you think of the combat loop? Like, especially compared to Doom Eternal, it's very different. And I know we haven't spent too much time playing the game, but do you feel like it fits together well?
Yeah, it goes back to what we're saying again. It's I really feel like I need more time to really get engrossed in it because it, like you said the same thing, but it really wasn't until the last 20, 30 minutes, man, when I was playing that demo where I was in that headspace of like, now everything's gelling. And I was going into the little, I was still playing the same combat areas, but I was reloading checkpoints and trying them again. And it flowed a lot better. Like I was throwing a shield at this, I was stunning this guy, whatever. So I think you really need to sit down with it and just invest your time in it. And I think the problem too is it's playing these demos on someone else's computer. It's like wearing someone else's shoes. You know what I mean? Like you've got, like I have a very specific series of keyboard that I love to play with. I use like a SteelSeries keyboard because it's really heavy and mechanical. And I find when I go to these smaller little things or that's not mine, it just feels, you know, it's hard to really gauge as well because you're not in your own zone. You're not really in your own sort of equipment. So, but like I kept saying, the underlying thing is that it's very different to Doom Eternal, but I don't think it's bad different. I think they've just really switched gears in how it's going to feel. And people are probably going to understandably not like it, but if you can get into the fun zone again, then it's still a lot of fun, man. Like once you get to that headspace,
So we've talked about the combat a lot, but there's a few other aspects that I wanted to just discuss with you here, especially because we had dedicated levels to experience these things. First up, the second level, I think it was, second level, we got to play as the Atlan mech, the big freaking giant robot that we got to step in and crush buildings and punch other demons. I thought it was freaking sick. What did you think of that level?
You are going to think I'm the biggest noob, but I somehow missed that level in the preview. I don't know how.
Jenna, what? What do you mean?
I was chatting to people after the event and everyone was talking about it and I was like, what level was this?
Serious?
I'm serious.
No way.
I had to complain about it. I was chatting to my mate about it and he was talking about it. And he said, because he said he had to cut that level short because he was running out of time. And I said, what level are you talking about? So, little bit of a bummer because, you know, they said that the level would fade to black or something and you go into the next one. And there was a point in the first demo where it faded out And then another thing there started. And then 20 minutes later, it threw me back to the main menu. But I thought that fade out was the end of the first chapter. So I went to the third one and skipped the second one.
Oh, I know,
because I got to the final bit, the open world bit, and I spent like an hour in the open world bit to the point where I replayed it twice because I'm like, oh, I've got a lot of time to experience this. So I missed the mech suit, man. Devo. Yeah, that but at least it gives me something crazy to be hyped for. Yeah.
It is very cool. Like, so we got to get in there, pilot it. The whole intro cinematic where you get to get into it is very cool. It feels awesome. Like, you're walking around, you're smashing into buildings, you're punching other demons, and then you get the opportunity. I was like, oh, crap, I hope we actually get to use a big, giant gun and just shoot enemies. We got to do that as well. It was a very quick segment, and I think they're going to be peppered into the game as you play along, but I think it is going to be very cool. The one that I want to chat with you then, because I assume you did play it, was the dragon level.
Yes.
What did you think of the dragon?
That's not my vibe as well. Yeah, that was, and it wasn't. I love like those open world, well, not open world, but I love that type of approach in levels where you can do whatever you want. Yeah. So I equate it to like in Half-Life 2 when there's that level where you're driving the buggy along the coast, and you have a place you need to go, but at any point you want, you can stop and check out random houses or go off into a cave or whatever. Like that reminded me of that. But the combat with the dragon was a bit odd, man. I don't know. It just, that definitely wasn't working for me. And I know Bethesda, I think even like Hugo and that was saying that they knew that that was a criticism or something, and that they were kind of working on fixing a few things. But it just felt really weird that it was so like flowy where you could fly around. But then when you're in combat with these turrets, you're locked into this, like you're just literally locked into this thing. Yeah. And literally all you do is you either just dodge left or right against these really obvious projectiles, and it just, and then what if you dodged a certain amount of times, you charged up super damage or something, and then everything died in a couple of hits. It just felt very undoom, and I've spent the whole portion of that area just wanting to get back to my feet, because when you went inside those little areas, because you're taking out, what are they, like demonic ships or something,
the stuff inside
the ships was like, yeah, cool, we're back to Doom. That stuff was, yeah, it was a bit odd. The visual of that thing picking you up and crash landing though was like, that's like a death metal album cover or something. There's that really cool cinematic shot where it lands and it's got these, like, I don't even know what the wings are. The wings are like cybernetic wings or something. They're like,
they're sick.
Yeah, it's like the design is fucking rad, man. But yeah, the actual thing of controlling it. And I think at one point I pancaked into like a wall or something. I was flying and like, I was just kind of, I'm flying around. And then, I pancaked into like a gate or something that came out of nowhere. Because I literally would not let me stop flying. I was like, I was trying to take my hands off the movement controls and the thing was just gliding. So it was obviously like a segment where I just had to steer and avoid obstacles. And I was like, all right, cool. I didn't know that was a thing, but
yeah.
Yeah. No, the Doomslayer killed by his pet dragon. Yeah.
So it's not only that it felt undoomed to me, because don't get me wrong, like I like trying different things and the Atlant mech was something that I really enjoyed. So that, coming off of that, I was like, sick, yeah, dragon time, let's go. I've seen it. It looks cool, visually awesome. I never got into the flow of it. I really don't like the assault mode where, so that was what you were describing, where you're stuck and you're locked on and then you dodge left and right. I don't know if you can go up and down in that mode. And whenever you did the right dodge, then you got the powerful attack and then you would shoot it. It just it felt a little clunky, I guess. It's good to know that they kind of admitted that it's the weaker spot, but we are so close to the launch of this thing. Do you think they're going to change it fundamentally?
I mean, probably not. The thing that irked me about it was that there were moments when I would have sworn that I dodged those things that they were firing at me and I still took damage. And again, because I have a stupid ego for this where I had to play it on the hardest difficulty, that would I'd probably survive two of them and then I'd die. And when it would reload a checkpoint, it would set me back like 2-3 minutes, which isn't a lot. But when you've only got 4 hours to play something, you don't want to be replaying stuff over and over because of something that doesn't feel like it's your fault. This is very odd. Yeah, I can't see, unless they just fix the hit detection, which was what was killing me. You can't really fundamentally change those sections around, you know? The other thing is, if it works the way it's supposed to work, it's not hard. That's the other thing. Do you know what I mean? Once you knew what you had to do, it wasn't hard. You were just pressing shift and then dodging the same thing 20 times. It's just, yeah, it's just un-Doom, and it just wasn't very, very fun. But so hopefully it only takes up a small chunk of the whole overall experience, man.
I think a way around it, hopefully, is that the free flying mode, maybe that can become a little bit more effective. Like, I don't want to feel locked into the assault mode to be able to just destroy turrets and whatever it might be. And it kind of felt like that was necessary.
Because that's all it was, wasn't it? It was just turrets, yeah.
It was just turrets. And, like, you're on this big free-flying... Yeah, and you're on this dragon that you want to, like, fly. But even the flying was a little bit weird. Like, I don't know why it had an ascend and a descend mode. Did you find that weird as well?
Yeah, it was weird, dude. It was. I don't know if you ever played. There's this game, Turok Evolution, one of the old Turok games on Xbox.
Right.
And the first 10 minutes of that game is like basically like Far Cry with dinosaurs running in a jungle, and then it introduces a very similar thing to this.
Yeah.
And it never comes back again. For the rest, actually, no, I think it comes back later in the game. But this is what that felt like to me, where they just thought, oh, we need to have something different. Dragons are pretty cool, so let's put in this whole segment. Because, yeah, it's like the only time you ascended was in the tutorial when it was like, here's where you need to ascend. It never came up for the rest of the thing. So it was, it was a bit odd. But, again, maybe there's a section in the end, I don't know, later in the game where you fly around a giant tunnel system or something. I don't know. I always feel weird getting too critical of stuff like that when it's that early days, you know?
I agree. I think that there are certain ways that they can improve it. Again, make the free-flying mode a little bit more effective in combat. Also, as well, when it was like, destroy these four ships to get to the next spot, I'm like, four is too many. And maybe it was because we're in a demo and I just wanted to get back onto my feet, kind of like you.
Yeah.
Two probably would have been enough. And then you get into the center of that building and then it would have progressed. I think that would have been a little bit better. But hopefully that the fact that they've appreciated that it's a weak point, they will be improving it over the next couple of months. But release date is May 21 or something like that, right?
It's 15th.
May 15th, right. There's still time for them to adjust it. The one thing that I wanted to chat with you about as well is, so at times, especially watching the cutscenes, and they described it like this, I think it was the Xbox Developer Direct where Hugo Martin really touched on this. The game story-wise and cutscene-wise and cinematic-wise is like an MCU movie at times. Do you get that sense where they're like trying to do like it's like a grand epic tale and there's a voice acting and they're putting a lot of focus and emphasis on the cutscenes? What do you reckon about that?
It reminded me, I haven't played a lot of it, but what I have seen visually, it reminded me of Warframe. You know that series Warframe?
Yep.
It's like this where it's the whole religious and sci-fi thing combined, and they're really taking the lore to the next level, I think, in this one. And
hell
it's because it's still so odd is that you've got all these characters talking and then the Slayer still just kind of says nothing, stands there looking at everybody the whole time. It's like, at what point does this guy just say, all right, well, I may as well start talking because everybody else is. But the key plot of him being like a weapon that's on a leash the whole time is so cool, man. But all I'm really interested in, I just want them to tie together what happened to him between Doom, like the original Doom, and then like the events in Doom Eternal, obviously. That's really all I'm in it for, because they kind of touched on it in Doom Eternal with that flashbacky thing.
Yeah.
That aspect is all I really want answers on, because I think that's the coolest stuff. All the weird things with the Makers and all the sort of other factions is cool, but like, let's not forget who the main draw is, you know? I want to know more about this dude, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense, yeah. It's a weird one.
I was surprised at how long that cinematic was. I think the first one was like, had to be like 10 minutes, man, where you were sitting there watching all this stuff. But they dropped you into the war zone.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because like they talked about how a lot of the lore in Doom Eternal was in the Codex. And don't get me wrong, as a lore fanatic, part of me likes to just sit down and read through all the entries and get a sense of the lore there. But also as well, sometimes when I'm playing a game, I don't want to be in and out of menus. I just want the story and the lore to develop in front of my eyes. And I feel like that's what they're going with this. So I'm all for it, but I agree. The Doomslayer, does he need to talk? Like what's the go to kind of flesh him out a little bit more?
It's hard because you can't have a mute character talk because you kill the character. That's the problem.
Correct.
So you need to have everyone else talking, but then the irony of it is, well, they're not as interesting as he is. So, there was definitely a bit of it there where it's like, who are these people? Like, why am I supposed to sort of care about them when all I care about is what this dude's up to? But there are a few moments in there, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it, where they showed that he obviously has his humanity left. Because I think the way they portrayed it was that he's very much just under control. They've got this like weird thing, a tether on him or something where they control him. And there was like a scene in there. Yeah, and there's that scene in there where you see his humanity come back for a second and they're all kind of freaking out, like he's waking up or something. That's the shit that's cool to me. You know what I mean? I don't, like, as weird as it sounds to say it, I don't really care about the thousand millennia old war or whatever. I like that shit where it's like, all right, I want to know what makes this dude tick. You know, like the hints in Doom Eternal that he had like a wife and kid or something and all that stuff, that's the cool shit, man. Like, let's get into what happened. Like, how did he get from the UAC base and hell and all that to where he's now? I want to like follow that journey and, you know, if there's like a flashback mission in there or something, like that'd be, some stuff like that. That's what I want to know.
I think it is a very, very cool story concept where, like, he's been weaponized by the gods, but there is that cutscene where he's like fighting against it. That's clearly going to be part of it. And then there's going to be this epic scene or level where he finally breaks free and then you get to play as him a bit untethered. I think it's very cool. I want to see how it progresses. But overall, man, just like, how are you feeling about Doom of the Dark Ages? Are you pumped for it? Do you think it's going to be one of the best games this year? Like, where's your head at with that?
I've been saying for a while, I think the only two games I'm really looking forward to this year is Doom of the Dark Ages and that Metal Gear Solid remake, man. They're just like, that's it for me. Obviously, there's a lot of other stuff I want to play, but yeah, Doom is just, it's... And I was chatting to a few people about this as well. It's just one of those series where it's been like part of my like DNA of gaming for so long. You know, the earliest memories I have of gaming are playing Doom on an old DOS computer, like on my dad's computer, like sitting in the dark with like, and I didn't have a mouse back then, so I just played on a keyboard, you know. So, yeah, it's part of that series where, you know, back before mouse days when you used to use the space bar to open doors, if you can remember those controls.
Far out, man.
Yeah. So, it's, I'll always come back to it in some capacity to check it out. And we've been kind of lucky where we haven't really ever had a bad Doom game and like a main Doom game. They've all been really awesome, you know? Even like people talk shit about Doom 3 and people talk shit about Doom Eternal in 2016, but they've all been like pretty phenomenal games, man. You know, made by developers who, like, you've met the id team, you know a lot of guys too. Like, they're just people who just love these games and they're clearly invested in it. And I think they've managed to just keep pumping out soulful titles that just reflect the love that goes into them. So this feels like that type of game. And you watch Hugo and Marty talk about it, and there's so much passion, and it doesn't feel like they're reading a script. They're just talking about some shit they made that they think's cool, you know?
Yeah.
And it reflects in the game. Like, it's just fun to play. It'll never get old, you know, especially now throwing like a razor edge shield into someone's chest, man, and watching them spaz out while their blood sprays out in every direction. Stuff like that is going to be cool always. So, yeah, I'm pumped for it. Yeah.
The shield sword is so bloody cool, man. Like, it fits the whole medieval vibe, but it's also fun to use. The shield charge will never get old to me. Like, I think it's the most satisfying way of moving around the map. I'm very glad that you mentioned this, though, about id Software, because when id announced this game and they were talking about how they wanted to change up the feel of it and the combat and make, again, the Doom Slayer a bit more weighted and heavy, naturally, some people that love Doom Eternal are going to be like, oh, I don't know, it sounds a little bit different. I really love Doom Eternal. Why not just do more of that? Id Software is one of those companies where I have full faith in, no doubts whatsoever. If they tell me the Slayer is going to feel like a weighted tank and it's going to feel good, I believe them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have zero, like, all the faith in the world they're going to smash this game. They're such awesome developers, man.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, every entry has just, like, evolved upon itself, man, if you think about it. Like, even Doom 1 was obviously doing its own thing, and then Doom 2 still added enough that it was so vastly different from the first game. Doom 3 is obviously, like, a completely different beast. It's, like, a horror game with, you know, much more cramped interior environments, and obviously Doom 2016 just completely changed it up again. And then somehow they found a way to make Doom Eternal different to 2016, and now they're finding a way to make this different as well. So... it's just, like I said, it's just always interesting. There's always something that you know they're going to do different each time, but it's always like the same result where it's just fun to play. I think that's the most important thing they always seem to nail, you know, just in the sound and the way it looks and feels. So we didn't really talk about the music, because what little music I heard in the demo was pretty badass, man. Yeah.
It was. Who are they? I'll search it up now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely not old mate. I'm pretty sure he's
It's not old mate. It is.
Yeah, I think that's done and dusted.
But also as well, it's funnily enough, it's not. So finishing move. So I remember now, finishing move. They've done a bunch of other soundtracks for other games. I believe they've done a lot of Halo games and working with Xbox. Okay. So this makes a lot of sense. What I was very interested in is why they didn't keep on. Who did The Ancient Gods? It was Daniel Levy?
There's Andrew Holschult, I believe.
Andrew Holschult, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What? I thought they did a decent job with that. I didn't know why they didn't keep them on for the full game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe just trying to differentiate it again. Maybe there was, I don't know, there could have been a scheduling thing, but it definitely was one of those things where it's the kind of music that doesn't, like, it doesn't overpower what's going on. It just seems to accompany it. Like, I would be playing it, and then every now and then I'd be listening to the background, and I'd be like, that's pretty banging tune, man. Like, what I could hear going on while I was killing stuff. That's the good shit. I like that music more than stuff that's just, like, taking over the whole scene. So, yeah, maybe it's just, like, another part of the ambience, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's a hard topic to talk about because there's a lot of people really do like Old Mate, and it's so hard because, like, don't get me wrong. I would love Mick Gordon to be able to keep doing Doom soundtracks for as long as he's alive, right? Because he's so phenomenal at what he's done. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, they just have to move on. They have to move on. They need a banging soundtrack, you know, heavy metal, whatever. They need to get that done. And if it can't be with Mick Gordon for whatever reason, hopefully that the guys that they found in the finishing move can do it justice. And we've only seen such a small slice in the demo, but it sounds good. I reckon they can get it done, you know?
Yeah, I think it just needs to be, like I said, music that's not overbearing, man. It just needs to serve as a accessory to all the carnage, which is what it did pretty well from what I could hear. And I said, the best music is that stuff that you hear in the background and you're just like, damn, this makes you feel like 200% cooler while you're doing what you're doing, you know? Which is what I felt like when I was like running around and there's like this and it was kind of like thumping in my ears and I was like, yeah, that feels pretty cool. Like while I was, doing all my shit. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, so we talked obviously a lot about Doom the Dark Ages, which this episode was dedicated towards. But you mentioned as well that this year there's another game that you're really looking forward to. Tell me about it. Why are you so pumped on Metal Gear Solid?
I don't know. It's a similar thing to Doom in that it's one of those game series that I've just been playing for so long. Like Metal Gear Solid, the first one was, I remember we got a PlayStation and there was like this demo disc for Metal Gear Solid that came out back in the day. And this was like this demo disc that just did the rounds, man, like at our high school. Everyone wanted to borrow it and play it. Then the full version came out and I remember like my mate coming around after school and I was like showing him all the cool stuff that I found in the game. And then when the PlayStation 2 came out, the second Metal Gear Solid came out along with Metal Gear Solid 3. And it's like I bought a PS3 because I wanted to play Metal Gear Solid 4. So it's just one of those game series where I've always just been invested in playing it. And they're remaking the third game, which is I think a lot of people would agree is like the best game in the series. Probably it's arguably one. It's more maybe like the most pivotal game in the series with a lot of the character development plots. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really cool to see how they handle that, even though I think it's just like a beat-for-beat remake. I don't think they're really changing everything. I think it's just basically, you know, shot for shot. But to see it in like a new engine, dude, looking, you know, like it's a modern game is going to be fascinating. Yeah. You know?
So this is full-on remake. This isn't just like a coat of paint or a remaster. Like they're completely rebuilding this thing.
Yeah. From what I've seen, the gameplay is more or less identical. I think they're adding in like a few improvements to controls because the old game was a bit archaic in the sense that like when you were shooting weapons, you had to like stand still. You couldn't like pull your gun out and strafe around. So if you were shooting, you were standing still. I think they've added in like third person controls. Nice. So they have improved that. And there's a few other quality of life things I think they've done to, you know, get around a few of the old dated mechanics because it was like a PS2 game. I think they were pretty limited in things, but the story and the overall game looks very much just following the exact same path, which is really cool because it was the aspect that really didn't need to be changed, you know? So why mess with the thing that ain't broken, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. So it'll be good to see, you know, really quality writing with some really cool modern features that are going to back it up. So very excited about that. Yeah.
It sounds like they're doing something similar as what they did with Final Fantasy, like Final Fantasy VII, the remake and everything.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the vibe as well? So completely remade, but beat for beat, it's the same story. It's the same old game.
I think the Final Fantasy VII remakes are pretty different, to be honest. Yeah, from what I've been... I haven't actually played this... I think the second one came out recently. Yeah. Rebirth, is it? I haven't actually played that.
But Rebirth? Yeah, neither.
Yeah, the first one, I'm pretty sure they retconned quite a lot of stuff, actually, in that. They changed a lot of the plot points around. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Because,
okay.
Like, there's one of the characters in it very famously dies. Which,
and then he doesn't in the new one?
She doesn't in the new one, apparently, no. Oh. Or she dies... I don't know if she dies actually in the new. I haven't had it spoiled for me, but.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Are you talking about the iconic scene where.
Yes.
She gets. No, they. Really?
I'm pretty sure that's not in the remake. Oh, yeah. I'd have to double check it. Don't quote me on it, but a mate of mine's really into it and he's been kind of talking about it without spoiling it, but
sure.
From memory, he said it's been completely changed. Yeah.
I thought what they were doing, because I don't know it like that well, I thought they were just kind of like elongating the story and adding a lot more, but that moment was going to come at some stage. Is that not the case? Because I never played the original.
There's a really meta joke in it, or a reference about these, like, and I hope I'm not spoiling it, but...
spoiler alert. Yeah, go on.
Okay. They're interdimensional beings or something that are supposed to almost be like a reference to player backlash. This is how my mate described it to me. So there's like these characters in the thing that are like from like a multiverse or something. I'm probably completely butchering this. And yeah, they explain in the game why the story's changed. It's like they're talking to the in-game characters, but they're talking to the player as well to like address the criticism. It was explained to me really weirdly, but I think that's how it works. Yeah. Long story short, though, they're completely changing that twist as far as I know. But that's another PS1 game that, is like, pretty ingrained in people's heads, man. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they don't change Metal Gear Solid up on you, because if they did, I think that'd piss a lot of people off.
I think there was a few fan theories in there about stuff they were going to change. There's a few things in there that, I think there was a few plot points that didn't match up with later games or something. And I remember reading on Twitter, someone had this really interesting theory about how they were going to change something around or introduce another character at the end. And I was like, yeah, I could see them doing that just to keep things in line.
Sure.
Because I think the plan is they're going to remake the other games after this, because this is chronologically the first game because it's in the 60s. I think it's in the 60s. Yep. Yeah. So then, the plan is if this works and goes well, that they'll do the rest of them. So, it's almost like the Resident Evil remakes where they're sort of rebooting their own universe, I think, and then kind of taking this new approach and everything ahead. So it's pretty exciting, man,
Hell yeah.
Even though it's like a remake of a 20-year-old game to sort of have this coming out, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
How do you feel about remakes as the last topic? Just remakes in general, because I know there's a big portion of people that are like, just make new stuff. We want to see new things. I don't want to replay the same old game. Part of me, man, I'm like, remake all the stuff that I love. I want to be able to play and enjoy that nostalgia again as much as possible, but with newer mechanics. How do you feel about remakes in general?
Depends on what the remake is at this point.
Okay.
I think, because a lot of those games, the stories don't need to be touched. And I think there's a tendency there for some of the remakes to mess with story elements, which is what kind of pisses off the players a bit. If it's just a gameplay thing to say, look, this game's pretty dated, but we have a chance to, make it more accessible to more people. Like Resident Evil 4, for instance, kind of did both. It messed with the story a little bit, but it was really just like the same game, but now it plays so much better because we have, fast weapon swapping, so you don't have to go on inventory every 2 seconds. Smoother, controls, no tank controls. Mm. I think that's the approach it needs to take, but there is definitely a sense of like, I remember there's a point where every game was getting remade and we were hearing about like, it's like, why are they remaking this? Like the Dead Space remake didn't seem like it needed to be done, but then
it was really good.
You played it. You're like, I can see. Yeah. But it doesn't cancel out the original in that sense,
Even System Shock as well, man. That was an awesome remake. I loved it.
That was good. But that's one of those instances where I think it was almost like a necessary remake, because trying to get the old game running and even just trying to get into that old game, that's super, super archaic, man. It's almost like, I've often said when you're playing that game, it feels like you're like playing MS-DOS. Like it's so weirdly like text-based and it's very graphically intensive with all the like heads-up display and stuff. It really is like you're playing like a spreadsheet and you bring your map up and this map is just like... It's like you're looking at like a mainframe or something. You're trying to look at where you got to go, and it's Yeah, it's something like that could absolutely benefit from it. So what was the other remake that came out recently? Silent Hill 2 was a pretty good remake too. Yeah.
I'm in the middle of I dropped it because of all these other games that came out. I need to finish it, man. It's so good. I was really enjoying it.
Is it vibing?
It is. No, it is vibing. Yeah. Like, I love Resident Evil as well, and I was getting similar vibes, but I didn't get the chance to finish it. It's on my PS5, and I really want to jump back into it. The backlog, man, and you do this more full-time than me, 80% of your time at least. Like, you probably still have a backlog. Like, with all the games that you play, because you have to edit everything and whatnot, like, is there still a backlog of games that you're like, I just really want to... This is a game that I really want to get to, but I've never had the time. Is there a game like that for you?
I still haven't finished Red Dead 2. I've just never finished it.
That's understandable. It's too long.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm glad you said that. But yeah, because I got to the point where I sat down for like, this was years ago, I sat down to really play it and I was like 40 hours into it or something. Yeah. And it was that bit after you get back from like the, before you go to this like tropical island or something. And I'm like, I've got to be near the end of this game at this point, you know? And then it sends me to a tropical island or something. And then you do that whole bit for like 5 hours, whatever it was, and you go back to, you know, you're back in the town or whatever. And then I was like, surely this thing is coming to an end. And I ended up looking at like a walkthrough or something. And I was like halfway through the campaign. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? You know? It's like, I just can't be a content creator and play Red Dead 2 unless I'm going to do content on it. Because I'm literally just like, all of my time is spent on this game because it's so addictive in all those mechanics of like, I got to do this, this, and this, but it's really unhealthy to play if you also have to like work and make content off video games because you will just get sidetracked for a week playing it. Yeah. So, and I went back another time, I tried to play it on PC when it got like there was like the remaster or whatever it was on PC and I got an ultra wide monitor at the time. So I was like, all right, I'm going to sit down and play this, played it for 4 hours. Same thing. No, I can't do this. It's just too much, man. You know,
I've got a kid now as well.
I got a 3-year-old, so I can't afford to play like games until midnight anymore. I'm in bed by like 9 o'clock, 9:30, because he gets up at 6 a.m. every day, right? Yeah. So I can't be up until 1 a.m. playing video games anymore. I go to bed at 9 o'clock as well, turn the computer off, and that's it. So I need games that I can just play, have fun with, get through, and then get on to the next thing, right? So. Yeah, dude, hopefully Dark Ages isn't 40 hours long. Yeah,
I don't think so. Like I get the sense, and I don't think they've given us numbers. Like I get the sense it's probably like you could finish it within anywhere from 20 to 40 hours, depending upon like how much you explore, because it's that open zone area and they encourage exploration to find the secrets and everything. I'm sure there's a fast path where you could just gun it to the end and finish it in like 20, 25 hours. But hopefully like it's like you can actually get to the 30 or 40 hour mark and do everything there. But man, this has been awesome. It's been great to chat with you about Doom and Doom the Dark Ages and everything. At the end of the podcast, I always like to ask, please tell everyone where they can find you, what they can find when they click on your YouTube channel. And I'll include all your links in the description below. But yeah, tell us all about it, man.
Obviously, you can just find me on YouTube. That's my main platform talking about hot games, whatever's the current thing that's out. And getting into arguments with people on Twitter is my side gig. So if you want to see me argue with a complete stranger on Twitter over something that's I'll forget about by the next day, head on over to Twitter because I'm there quite a lot.
Oh, bro. Every time I see a tweet from you, it's just you going back and forth with someone. I love it. It gives me joy. But does that not get draining at times, by the way?
Sometimes it gets a bit, it goes a bit too far, I think. But a lot of it, I just say something back retaliatory, then I leave the computer. That's the end of it. And then I forget about it the next day, man. So there's a couple of times when it's bit me in the ass because it's got a bit out of control. But yeah, it's funny to say because when I saw Camelworks, the first thing he always says is something like, man, you and Twitter. Every time I'm on Twitter, that's all I see. I had no idea it was that visible when I get in an argument. I might have to like watch my filter
or
something.
It is, bro. It is. Because I follow your stuff, right? Every time you tweet or respond to someone, I'm seeing you argue with someone.
Because I'm very placid in real life. Like I'm very like nice and I think that's maybe what it is. Maybe it's like I'm never rude to people in my personal life. So maybe, when I see like a random dude say some stupid shit on Twitter, I'm like, all right, this is my opportunity to get out like a little bit of pent up. Maybe annoyance at this, and that's it. Because I'm never like that. You met me in real life. I'm never like that in real life. So
you're not, bro, at all. You're honestly like the nicest dude.
Honestly, it fills up on these poor Twitter nerds. That's where it goes. So. Yeah.
Well, dude, thank you so much for joining me. Honestly, this has been a blast. Again, I'll include all of G-Man's links in the description below. Please check him out. And until next time, this has been the Lone Vault Wanderer. Please take care of yourselves, and would you kindly keep fighting the good fight.